the apostle, beloved John, wrote his beloved friend and said, I hope that your soul, or that your health prospers, even as thy soul prospers. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, is it well with thy soul? Is it well with thy soul? I don't think it'll be what you think it'll be. The book of Proverbs, we won't turn to these passages, but in chapter 19 and verse 15, it talks about the idle soul. In Job 3:20, it talks about the bitter soul. I'm talking to some folks here tonight who have bitter souls. In Psalm 107, verse 5, it talks about the fainting soul. Soul that gives up, quits, turns back. Some of you have that soul tonight. Isaiah 29, verse 8, talks about the empty soul. Deuteronomy 12:15 talks about the lusting soul. Psalm 42:5 talks about the soul that is cast down, depressed, defeated, sorrowful, sad, melancholy. In Job 10:1 talks about the weary soul, tired of it all, just sick of it. In Judges 5:21 it talks about the trodden down soul, soul that's been destroyed by gossip and slander and criticism and hurt. In Psalm 107:26 it talks about the melted soul, the soul that is melted in the heat of the battle. Listen to me very carefully as I explain something to you. Each of us has a body. In that body dwells a soul. In that soul dwells a spirit. In that spirit dwells the Holy Spirit. My soul, my body, is that which you see. My soul is that which enables me to communicate with you. My soul is that part of me, my outlook, my attitude, part of me that can be cheerful or crabby, the part of me that can be delightful or disgusting. My soul is that which is the real me that lives in my body. Now, in my soul there dwells a spirit. That spirit was revived when I got saved. Now, the Holy Spirit lives in my spirit, which lives in my soul, which lives in my body. Now listen carefully. That means that if my soul lives in my body, that my body must be clean in order for my soul to be healthy. That means that please take the baby out immediately. That means that since my soul, listen to me, since my soul inhabits my body, that means that I must keep my body clean, because the determining factor in the health of my soul depends on the health of my body. If you're sick physically, it affects your soul. If you smoke, drink, it physically affects your soul. And your soul is not healthy, as healthy as it could be, unless your body is healthy. Likewise, the soul must be kept healthy, because the spirit dwells in the soul. Now, the spirit is that, look at me, the spirit is that which enables you to fellowship with God. Just like the soul is that which enables you to fellowship with others, the spirit is that which enables you to fellowship with God. That means if I have the right kind of fellowship with God, I'm supposed to keep my soul healthy. That means I keep my body healthy so my soul will have a good habitation. That means I keep my soul healthy so my spirit will have a good dwelling place. Now then, the Holy Spirit dwells in my spirit. So I keep my spirit healthy so the Holy Spirit who dwells in my spirit will have a healthy place to dwell. So my spirit who dwells in my soul will have a healthy place to dwell. So my soul which dwells in my body will have a healthy place to dwell. That means I'm supposed to keep my body clean, my soul clean, my spirit clean, so the Holy Spirit will have a clean temple in which to live. Now that's important to God, because the soul being the habitation of the spirit. For 50 years in the ministry, Satan has tried to get my soul. Satan's tried to get that part of me which can be pessimistic or optimistic. cheerful or uncheerful, on top or on the bottom, happy or sad. He's tried to get my soul. I'm here to serve notice tonight. He never has gotten it yet. He's launched, I guess, most every attack he can launch to a preacher, but has never gotten my soul. And by the way, that's why you're here tonight. You came tonight here at the Bible exegesis. You'd go to some of these dead preachers that have that they can't get a quorum. They can't take an offering. They've got enough folks to be ushers. But you're here because there's an old man up here that for 36 years has had a soul that's healthy. He's also after your soul. We put it this way. He wants to get your goat. He's after your soul. Because he knows if he can get your soul, you won't be as good a Christian as you could have been. More is said in the Bible about your soul than you can ever imagine. For example, and by the way, we must understand most of the passages about the soul. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Ladies and gentlemen, that's not talking about being saved from sin. That's not talking about being born again. That's talking about your soul being in good shape. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? You become a multi-millionaire or a multi-billionaire and lose your soul, lose your joy, lose that inside of you that can be happy and excited and thrilled and joyous. So what if you gained the whole world and live a miserable, wretched, depressed kind of a life? What does it gain? 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's not talking about being born again. He said the end of faith. It's the beginning of faith gets you born again. You first put your faith in Christ, that gets you born again. What is the ending of faith? The salvation of your soul. Your optimism, your outlook, your attitude, the way you can look at life. The receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. I'm talking to folks all of this room tonight who are on, your name is written in heaven, but your soul's not saved. If you died tonight, you'd go to heaven, but your soul is not saved. You're depressed, melancholy, defeated, downcast, grumpy, grouchy, and with a negative outlook on life. Folks don't like to be around you. I mean, your presence brings gloom everywhere you go. I'm saying you ought to get your soul saved tonight. In the 142nd Psalm, sad statement is made. The psalmist said, "I looked on my right hand, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." That doesn't mean no man... This is David who wrote this. David was a saved man. Not talking about being born again. Not talking about becoming a Christian. He's not saying I was unsaved and nobody cared for my soul, for me to be saved. He was saying I was destitute and no man cared for my soul. I was depressed and no man cared for my soul. I was down in the dumps and no man cared for my soul. I was melancholy and no man cared for my soul. I thank God tonight I look on the top side instead of the bottom side. I thank God tonight that my soul is in good shape. I thank God tonight I live above the clouds and not below the clouds. My soul is saved. It's my job to save your soul. Not talking about getting you out of hell. Talking about getting you to be happy on your way to heaven. I could sing "It Would Be Worth It All," but I'll not do that. It ruined the spirit of Christmas for you. But I'm saying, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Talking about your preacher. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls." Not only my job tonight to get people saved, it's my job to keep your soul healthy. It's my job to keep you on top side. It's my job to keep you optimistic. It's my job to keep you laughing. It's my job to keep you from griping. It's my job to keep you from complaining. It's my job to keep you from fussing. It's my job to keep you from not liking other people. It's my job to keep you from being negative. It's my job to keep you from gossiping.
It's my job to keep your soul on top side. And I'm looking at several thousand people tonight, and I'm looking at several hundred people tonight who need to get your soul saved. I mean, brother, your name is written in heaven. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. Heaven's your home. The rapture's your hope. The Bible's your book. The Holy Spirit lives in you. In God's dear name, get your soul in good shape tonight. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "He that winneth souls is wise." It's not talking just about getting people out of hell. It means that the folks around you ought to feel better because they're around you. I know some folks in this room tonight that if I had to go a block out of the way, I'd go a block out of the way to talk to you because you lift my spirits. I know some other folks in this room tonight, if I had to go a block out of the way to miss you, I'd go a block out of the way to miss you. And you know who you are. You know whether you got it. You know what kind of shape your soul. In fact, the criticism you're saying right now, he's talking about me. Now, your soul is sick. In God's name, nobody likes a sick soul. Nobody wants to be around a sick soul. Come down this aisle tonight. Get on your knees this altar and get your soul in good shape. He that winneth souls is wise. Brother, I not only want to get people out of hell, I want to win the souls of people. I want folks to feel better because I walk by them. I want folks to feel better because I cross their path. I want every clerk in every store where I buy something to feel better when I walk out than he or did, she did when I walked in. I want the fella that cuts my hair. I want the fella that shines my shoes. I want the fella who sells me the ticket at the airport. I want the stewardess on the airplane. I want the pilot on the airplane. I want the fella who sits beside me on the airplane. I want the place where I do business. I want the clothing store where I buy my clothes. When I walk out of that place, I want those people to feel better than they did when I walked in. Why? Because I'm to be a soul winner, and that's what it's talking about. You're supposed to raise the spirits and lift the soul of people whose path you cross. Job said, I mean, it's your job, I mean, in Proverbs 11:30, as I say, when a soul is wise. Years ago, I was pastoring Texas, and we had an evangelist in our church named Tom Landers, not Tom Landry, but Tom Landers. This evangelist was invited to come to the First Southern Baptist Church here on Hoffman Street for a revival meeting. I'd never been to Hammond, Indiana. I didn't know where it was. I don't know whether it was in the southern part, northern part. Didn't care. Didn't give a flip where it was. I just knew where that's probably made, where they made Hammond organs. They don't make Hammond organs in Hammond. They make soot in Hammond. But Tom Landers came back up for Southern Baptist Church, and he said, "Brother Jack, I want to take you out to eat." We went down to the Harris Restaurant, our little city of Garland, Texas, sat across from him, and he said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "they need you up in Hammond, Indiana." I said, "Where in the world is Hammond, Indiana?" He said, "Right near Chicago. They need you." I said, "What for?" He said, "Those people up there, back in the days when the steel mills were running full blast," he said, "they get up in the morning and it's snowing and below zero and dark, and they go work in those steel mills and they come back after dark," and he said, the soot is everywhere. And he said, I believe if you'd just go up there for a few weeks maybe and preach around Hammond, Indiana, you could lift the spirits of those people and you'd be good for them. Those folks are depressed." I said, "Man, I haven't got time to go up there 2 weeks and preach, so I came for 36 years. Boy, I will tell you something. I hope unto God that Jack Hiles' presence, I go thinking about him again, or her. I hope that Jack Hiles' presence in Hammond, Indiana has raised the spirits of this area. I hope I've trained enough people to be happy that as we go across this area, the clerks and the merchants will know that there's some church here where there's joy and happiness, not a bunch of crabs, not a bunch of high church worship people, a bunch of people that are happy in Jesus, a bunch of folks that delight themselves, and a bunch of people that have healthy souls." Tonight, what is it well with thy soul? Is it well with thy soul? Is it well with thy soul? What kind of attitude do you have? Are you critical? Are you negative? Are you downcast? Are you depressed? No reason for a child of God to be like that. No reason at all. No reason at all. I don't understand it. Why a child of God ought to get blue or depressed or down. "Oh, but Brother Hiles, somebody got mad at me." Well, Jesus is glad at you. "No, I saw somebody wrote something bad about me." Well, Jesus wrote your name in the book of life. Well, somebody criticized me. Well, God forgotten all you ever did. He's forgotten all the bads you ever did. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the reason the churches across this nation don't have church tonight, the reason the church doors are closed and the lights are out in churches tonight is because nobody has any joy on Sunday morning. I mean, our soul, the soul of our pulpit is dry, and the soul of our pew is dry, and the soul of our churches are dead, and the soul of our Bible colleges are dead, and the souls of our seminaries are dead. Nothing wrong with churches in America that couldn't be cured by an old-fashioned transfusion of joy and peace and happiness and delight and praise and hallelujah and glory to God and praise the Lord. I'm saying, is it well with your soul tonight? Some of you folks sitting right behind one of these people up hollering, your soul got sick when they got up. You Pharisees, your soul got sick. I want to tell you tonight, a child of God, sins forgiven on your way to heaven, redeemed with the blood of Calvary. You have no right to get depressed and blue and negative and down in the dumps. Is it well with thy soul? Interesting verse in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner, not talking about getting somebody saved from hell, talking about getting somebody saved from griping, saved from not liking people. Brother, it's no merit at all if you not to like somebody. And if you don't like somebody, have enough sense to keep your mouth shut about it. I'm trying to say, in God's name, there ought to be in every tongue praise and not criticism. I thank God that all of you don't look like some of you do. I bypass some of you while I preach. You know why? You got a sick soul, that's why. Negative, depressed, defeated, critical, pharisaical. In God's name, get on your knees tonight and get your soul healed. Get your soul saved. Let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Save a soul from death. Psalm 72:13 says he shall save the souls of the needy. Up and down the streets of Chicago, First Baptist Church of Hammond goes. Up and down the streets of this great Northwest Indiana, Calumet region, First Baptist Church of Hammond travels. Saving souls. Not just getting folks born again, but saving the souls. Saving the souls of some of these bus kids that live in a hell on earth. Giving them something to smile about. Giving them something to laugh about. I get so mad whenever I hear some pious, prude preacher, some rotten reverend stand up. I was preaching out and criticized the bus kids. I was preaching out in California, Redondo Beach, California, at a state Sunday school convention. They had a fellow whose job it was to introduce the speakers, and he didn't like me. He stood up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, Dr. Jack Hiles is speaking tonight. He has the largest church in the world, but he said he's just a bunch of bus kids, that's all he's got. And he said, here's Hiles. I stood up and I said, yeah, well, that's all we got, a bunch of bus kids. But I said, they must be pretty wealthy because they gave $80,000 last week. Let me tell you something. The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to go to the poor neighborhoods and save their souls and save their, give them joy and happiness. They live in darkness. They live in sadness. They live in defeat. They live in hell holes. They live in quagmires of sin. They live in hog pens of iniquity. And somebody needs to go and say there is a joy and a happiness and a thrill and an excitement. It's our job not only to get people out of hell, it's our job to save souls. And ask you a question, give you a little test tonight about the condition of your soul. Number one, what is your relationship with your family? What is your relationship with your family? If your relationship with your mother is not good, your soul is sick. If your relationship with your father is not good, your soul is sick. If your relationship, if you have anything in your heart toward anybody in your family, your soul is sick. Test number two, what is your relationship toward those who work with you? What kind of relationship? Are they glad to see you coming? Now look, listen. See, folks, he's talking about me. Well, change! I'm not preaching to get you mad or to get you back. I'm trying to get you to get enough sense to change. Get your soul saved. Get a smile on your face while we sing. Get a songbook and open the stupid songbook and sing the songs and smile and say amen every once in a while and get happy in the Lord and smile during the announcements and participate in the service and get your soul right with God. Now you listen to me. There's more to being saved than just getting out of hell. And God came to save you more than just to keep your soul from burning in hell and to get you to heaven. And by the way, some of you folks get to heaven, I pray God you're not my next door neighbor. I don't want you in the same town where I live. Praise God tonight. My soul is in good shape. Another test. What is your relationship to your enemies? Another test. What is your reaction to annoyances? I have a new car. I drove a little Sundance. I got criticized for it because people thought preachers shouldn't drive a dance. But people kept saying to me, preacher, get you a bigger car. Sometimes you drive somewhere where you preach, you're on the highway, that little thing, you ought to get you a bigger car. We want you to take care of yourself. So I've got me a little larger car. I got me a Mercury Cougar. And I you know how you ought to get a new car. One little spot. Speck of dust. I was driving home last night. I was driving down Sibley Street to turn left on Holman. Stop for a stoplight. Somebody rammed a rear into my car. They didn't dent anything. It felt like they did, but it just took some paint off the bumper. Who was it? A security guard following me home. The guy that's supposed to protect me from having wrecks. Thank God for these men that keep me from falling. Thank God for these men that keep me safe as I drive home. You say, Brother Hiles, did you get annoyed? No, Not outwardly. If you'd heard what I said, you'd been so proud of me. If you'd know what I thought, you'd leave this church. What's your reaction to annoyances? Number five, what is your attitude toward adversity? And number six, what does your presence do to a group? I thank God tonight, my spirit, my soul, the habitat of my spirit is in good shape. I thank God tonight as I come closer and closer to my 70th birthday. Boy, that sounds terrible. I didn't mind my first, my second, my third, my fourth, my 10th, my 20th, my 30th. I didn't mind any of them to 69 because ain't no more under 70. I thank God, though. I've been living long enough to be called an old man, but you're not looking at an old man tonight. You're looking at a man that's young. You're looking at a man that can still tingle at high school graduation. When our kids walk down the aisle, or walk down through those swords, or our college students walk down there, tears can still roll down my cheeks as I look at our seniors. I thank God tonight I can still thrill at the wedding march. Lovely bride walks down the aisle in the arm of her father. And a handsome groom up here besides the handsome preacher. I thank God I can still feel the same thrill I felt 50 years ago when I had my first wedding. Thank God I enjoy preaching as much tonight as I did 56 plus thousand sermons ago. I'm having as much fun tonight as I had that first sermon at the Friendship Baptist Church 10 miles south of Marshall, Texas, when I just screamed and hollered, read a verse and hollered for about an hour. I thank God I haven't gotten used to it. I thank God when I walk up to preach, I still feel the thrill and the excitement. Hallelujah! My soul is still in good shape. Thank God tonight I can still feel the depth of love as I look at our young people. Thank God I can still feel the depth of love as I look at our children, our bus kids, our senior citizens. The solid people that have stayed with me for these 36 years. Thank God I can still more have more Sundays while my deacons walk down the aisle to serve the Lord's Supper. Thank God I can still look at my staff and say, thank God for these years we've shared together. A lot of you folks, you're so dead, if they hit your knee, your foot wouldn't even kick. I thank God tonight when that knee's hit, that foot goes up. And some of you, if your knee did go up and it was hit, that'd be the only thing you'd respond to. You say, do I look like I've lost my last friend? No, sir, you look like you never had one. Thank God tonight I can still marvel at nature. I still look at the stars and say, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Starlight, star bright, first star I've seen tonight. I wish I might have this wish I wish tonight. Thank God I still can enjoy nature. I still love the sunrise. Sunrise. New word, Brother Colston. Sunrise. It's that big round thing that's right overhead when you wake up every morning. I still enjoy the sunrise. I never see it, but I had somebody take some video of it one time. I still enjoy the lakes of Minnesota, pine trees of Carolina, sequoias and huge giant trees of Northern California. Thank God I can still enjoy the mountains of Colorado. I still admire the rose and enjoy the fragrance of a gardenia. Hey, I'm alive. Alive. I take a walk wherever I go, and I look for the beautiful grass and the trees. I look for the flowers. I look for the ferns. I look for the hedges. I look for the cloud formations. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not going to go through a life not looking. I'm going to enjoy what I see and see what I enjoy. Thank God tonight I still can't wait for Sunday. Thank God I'm not bitter because of disappointments. And you listen carefully. The man doesn't live in this world that I don't love. Are you listening carefully? The man doesn't live in this world that I don't like. And I like some more than others. And some I barely like. One lives on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Still get excited, brother, when I see folks walk down the aisles. I still stand up here when the service ends on Sunday morning and look around and watch the crowd leave. And I savor every moment of it. Thank God I hold no grudges against anybody. I still get excited about heaven. I haven't lost faith in humanity. I'm still as awed by being a pastor as I was when they put the sign out in front of the Morris Chapel Baptist Church. And I got a little watercolor brush and a little can of paint about that big and painted my name on the sign and wrote myself a letter to Reverend Jack Hiles, pastor of Range Hall Baptist Church, so the postman would find out that I was a pastor. Praise God, I'm still awed by the fact that I'm a pastor of New Testament Baptist Church. I went to the White House and felt and was entertained by Mr. Carter. And I sort of felt sorry for him. He's just the president. You know, it was just the president of the United States. Man, I lie. You say that people like that intimidate you? No, I'm the intimidator, not the intimidated. Governor Bowen sat right back there in our service one Sunday morning, went down to the mayor the next day and told Mayor of Hammond, Mayor Oskoski, former Governor Bowen, said, "The only man in America intimidates me is Jack Hiles." You say, you think you're better than they are. I think I'm the sorriest man in the world, but I think I'm in the biggest position in the whole world. I'm not cynical. I have dreams and plans. Brother, if you knew the plans I've got for your money, you'd move your membership next Sunday morning. I've never in my life had the plans I have tonight. I've never in my life, the young and I have been talking about how we're going to baptize in a couple of years 15,000 people. Yeah. I'll baptize each deacon five times. I mean, 15,000 people we're going to baptize. You give us a couple of years and we'll do it. Man, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table. Hey, one old soul, 69 years and 3 months old, well and healthy and happy and on top side and saved. Get your soul right with God, Grouch. Somebody asked one of you women, "Did you wake up Grouchy this morning?" He said, "No, I let him sleep." Thank God I can still shout praise and worship. I marvel as much that Jesus loves me as I did 64 years ago. My little Sunday school teacher put me as a barefoot boy on her knees and told me Jesus loved me. I can still tingle over the love of God. I can still weep as I pray. I love to give. I still get angry at sin. I kick down more microphones than I did 50 years ago when I first started preaching. I weep because of hell. Tonight, God comes to a disillusioned preacher and says, "Don't lose your soul." He comes to a wife forsaken by her husband, rearing the children by yourself. He says, "Don't lose your soul." He comes to parents with a broken heart. Every week of my life, I face them. Every week. Never a week I don't counsel with somebody for what whose teenage son or daughter has broken their heart, either here or somewhere else. I've counseled with three pastors in the last 3 months. Who have children, they're either girls pregnant and not married or a teenager had run off from home and they didn't know where they were. I'm talking to some parents with a broken heart tonight. Don't lose your soul. Talking to some young people defeated. Don't lose your soul. Your parents divorced, tough at home, okay, but don't lose your soul. Poor, facing Christmas. Without any money. Folks, I was 6 years old before I got my first Christmas present. I mean, listen to me, young people. I was 6 years old before I got my first Christmas present. And that was a bicycle taken out of a garbage can, dismantled, and thrown away that my dad put back together and gave me on Christmas Day 1932. But I want to serve notice to you, my little mother never lost her soul. And my little mother, through poverty, and a drunkard husband, and a husband that left her, and having to rear a boy by herself, she never lost her soul. Thank God my mother wasn't one of you old crabs always griping, complaining. My mother never gossiped about anybody. Mama, thank God we didn't even have a telephone she could talk on. People say, "Brother Howes, are you against television?" No, it's telephones I'm against. Burn them. I'm shooting at you, man. We have a rule at our house. I passed it. Mrs. Hiles can't talk on the phone more than 60 seconds. Now, that rule's never been enforced. But it's the rule. And I'm going to enforce it when she lets me. I love this story. I tell it around the country a lot. I tell it here on the first and third Sunday of every month. Some of you folks remember we had that fire out at Hiles Anderson College several years ago, burned the boys' dormitory. Used to call it Prophet's Dorm. Now it's called Malone Hall. Thing was practically new. I was in New Jersey preaching. Called in on Tuesday afternoon, and Mrs. McKinney said, Brother Hiles, Dr. Evans called and said the boys' dormitory has been burned beyond repair. Boys have had to be moved out to a motel. And Dr. Evans said, there's a little gloom over the campus. You can smell fire. Smoke and smell all over the campus, and that student body's a bit down. He said, by all means, Brother Hiles, get a flight early enough so you can get back in here Wednesday morning. Don't take a chance of missing chapel. The student body needs you. I got on the campus, and there was a spirit of gloom. The soul was not real well in the student body. I walked out the door. Walked up to the pulpit. Didn't say a word. Just started singing. Everything's all right. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. And I sang it again. Everything's all right. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. And I sing it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And I sing it again. Well, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. You think I'm going to let a little fire take my soul? Fires can't burn soul. I sing it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. I say it again. Everything's all right. Throw pennies, folks. And everything's, oh, don't you dare, in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. After a while, one or two of the students began to sing it. And then pretty soon the student body was singing, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. After a while, the whole student body was singing it real loud. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Sing it. In my Father's house. Sing it. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy. And pretty soon, they start clapping their hands while they're singing. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy. The people that I didn't think would clap their hands are not clapping their hands right now either, because their spirit is as dead as King Tut's carcass is. And I say it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where all of a sudden, some guy back in the back jumped up and said, well, glory! Somebody else jumped up, well, hallelujah! And we sang it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. That's all we did. And within 15 minutes of that, everybody in that room was praising God. The dormitory had burned. You can't burn a soul, brother. Get your soul saved tonight. Get your soul saved. You're a child of the King. A child of the King. The other day I was in a motel room, turned on the news, and I saw Princess Diana. That's the English whoremonger. He was on the television. And then I saw Prince Charles after that. I felt sorry for him. Bless his heart.
I wanted to say, hey, buddy, I'm a prince too. My father is the King of Kings. Shoot. People say sometimes, sometimes you get on airplanes to all these famous people. You get nervous? Oh. Shoot. I sat across from Oprah. Naomi. Ruth. Somebody. I sat there with Oprah. You think that sometimes fat, sometimes skinny black gal's going to make me nervous? I sat right next to Tip O'Neill one time on the airplane. I only had a third of a seat. You think he makes me nervous? Not on your life. I sat one day beside Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We walked down the hallway together in the airport. I had a conversation with his kneecap. I was in Salt Lake City and sat there beside Michael Jordan, your hero, famous gambler. You think a child of the King of Kings is going to be intimidated by just Harry Truman? I sat beside Harry Truman one day. You think a child of the King of Kings is going to be intimidated because Harry Truman is sitting right there beside me? Let Harry be intimidated. I sat beside James Stewart on the airplane one time. Yeah, James Stewart. You say, oh, did you really? Somebody asked the other day, asked, have you ever sat beside any famous people? I said, no, but folks I've sat beside have. Man, I'm having fun. I just feel sorry for you grouches. I feel sorry for you people who live on negative side and always the cup's half empty instead of half full. Good night! You're not any more right with God than the alcoholic is. You're just as wrong with God as the dope head is. Get your soul saved tonight. Thank God I have my soul. I lived in poverty but never lost my soul. I saw my daddy beat my mama, but I never lost my soul. I knelt and watched my daddy leave our house. Never returned, or never lost my soul. I was voted out of my denomination, but never lost my soul. You can't vote me out of happiness. My home church wouldn't let me preach anymore because I wasn't Southern Baptist anymore, but never lost my soul. My alma mater wouldn't let me come back and preach on the campus anymore, but I never lost my soul. I came to Hammond. I lost my soul. I'm from the South. But 406 people walked out of this church building one Sunday. We pulled out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I lost 406 people, but never lost my soul. I was shot at twice. Never lost my soul. Fire destroyed half of our buildings, but never destroyed my soul. In Texas, a tornado lifted the roof off our education building, but it never lifted the roof off my soul. I guess I've faced about everything a preacher can face. But praise God tonight, one soul is healthy and in good shape. I serve notice tonight. I've never lost my soul. My soul is saved. How about yours? How about yours?
Well, you don't know my burdens. I'll be in heaven someday, and then it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of him, his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So I'll gladly, sadly,
run the, not me, Buster. Not me, Buster Etz. My name is in heaven. Indelibly written, and it cannot be erased. I'm as saved as Jesus Christ is tonight. And the devil can get my soul just no easier than he can get Jesus' soul, because I am hid with Christ in God. We're hid in the same place. Get your soul right. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Are you one of those people that folks dread to see coming? You are? I heard an amen over there. That's exactly the guy I thought of. What did it profit you? You make $10 million and lose your soul. What should it profit you if you get a PhD and become an intellect, degree from Harvard or Yale, and lose your soul? What should it profit you if you become President of the United States and lose your soul? What should it profit you? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I promise you this. Sometimes I'm a premier executive on the air, United Airlines, where I get upgrade tickets where I can, if I'm sitting between two fat women, I can upgrade from coach to or fat men. I can upgrade from, or one of each, but I can upgrade to first class. But I promise you that when I get on an airplane, they know I've been on the airplane. Right, Brother Jack? They know I've been on the airplane. The stewardess comes by and says, they serve coffee or tea or soft drinks, and says, what would you like to drink? And I say, a strawberry milkshake. And everybody turns their head. Do they serve strawberry milkshakes on this plane? I was on an airplane. This button right here. Not this suit, but a button had come off. So I got my little sewing kit. If my wife ever dies, I'll make somebody a good housewife. I got my little sewing kit out, was sitting there on the airplane, sewing a button on. A little stewardess came by, and she said, what are you doing? I said, sewing a button on. I said, you got any seamstress work you need done? She said, as a matter of fact, I just lost a button off my blazer. I said, bring it here, baby. I'll take care of it for you. I sat there, and everybody in the first class section laughed at me and had the time of their lives while this guy up there in seat 2A was sewing the stewardess's button on her blazer. Yes, Ms. Hiles. I go somewhere to buy something. I say to this little clerk, I say, Is this the garment where you get two for the price of one? Or the price of $39.95? I'll say, is this what was advertised in the paper for 79 cents? But for you,
it will be worth it all.
Get your soul saved tonight. Good night. You're redeemed by His precious blood. Saved by His marvelous grace, forgiven by His infinite mercy, name recorded indelibly in the Lamb's Book of Life, on your way to heaven. Good night, good night, good night. Why don't you decide you're going to get your soul saved? And everywhere you go, you just leave a little joy, a little happiness, a little sunshine, and a stewardess coat that has been repaired. God help us. Father, bless our people tonight. Save our souls. I pray you'd use my little sermon tonight to be the savior of some souls.